Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And I have Rabbi Slifkin, Nathan Slifkin, on the phone, who is a British-born rabbi and is known as the Zoo Rabbi. He lives in Eretz Israel. Rabbi Slifkin, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
That's good, good. And this is not the first time that Rabbi Slifkin and I have spoken on the phone, and we've done some other interviews, and of course we always look forward to hearing what you're up to next, because it's always exciting and something new. And now there is something really new, very, very new, which is the Biblical Museum of Natural History, your new museum. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, my idea for the museum came a few years ago. Now, as you know, for many years I've been teaching about Torah and the animal kingdom. And apart from writing material on this topic, I was leading special guided tours of the Biblical Zoo in Jerusalem and of different zoos in the U.S. What I found was that, you know, as powerful and unique as those experiences were, they were a little unfocused. When you're outdoors and it's hot and you're schlepping around and there's a lot of distractions. And what I decided I wanted to do was make a much more focused experience that would be indoors, where you could come up close to the animals, where you could touch things. So that's how the idea developed, to create a museum of animals of the Torah, a combination of live animals and taxidermy exhibits. And the idea being that you can learn about it in this tremendous, you know, interactive settings where you can get right up close to everything. You can even touch many of the animals. And thank God it's proven to be something that people love.
So when did the museum actually, is it officially open now?
Yeah, we opened 3 months ago. Well, we opened before we were quite ready. But now we are fully ready. And it's been, you know, Hanukkah, we had so many visitors, we actually had to turn away people on Hanukkah because we couldn't cope with the number.
Uh-huh. Nice. So are you working with schools a lot or organizations?
We have, the way it works, it's guided tours only. It's kind of museum where you wander around. The point is to give an experience where people really gain an understanding of everything that they're seeing. So me or my colleagues give guided tours, which lasts about an hour and a quarter, where we explain everything. So we do it with groups, and we've had a lot of different types of groups, yeshivas and seminaries, bar mitzvah groups. We had a group of Christian Bible translators from Europe. There's some pretty diverse crowds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very nice. So both the museum. So you said there are live animals in the museum also?
Yeah, basically anything small enough that can be kept indoors, we have indoors. We have a lot of different reptiles. We have an exhibit of the Shmona Shuratzim, you know, the eight creeping creatures mentioned in the Torah, about which there's a lot of disputes regarding their identities, so we have various different candidates. We have some other live animals, too, in the Kashrut exhibit, kosher birds. We have the famous the Hyrax, the Shafan of Tanakh. A bunch of different live animals.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Very, very, very nice. So when I kind of read the article, it said it's part natural history museum and part zoo. So it's clearly a combination of both.
Right. So for the larger animals that wouldn't be viable to keep alive indoors, we have a taxiderm, you know, a lion. It's not really practical for us to keep live lions. So, you know, the lion, the cheetah, the wolf, you know, these things are taxidermy. But not behind glass. We have it in a way that's right there out in the open, so you can really make it a much more vivid encounter. And then smaller animals are in enclosures. We have it live in enclosures. And there's many related items, too. We have what I think is the world's largest collection of exotic chauffeurs from different species, all kinds of skulls and bones and teeth and all kinds, you know, artifacts relating to biblical natural history.
And you say all the animals are animals mentioned in the Tanakh.
All they are animals which, you know, illustrate a point in Halacha or a point in Tanakh. Like, for example, so we have also have an exhibit, the idea of Niflat Habore, the wonders of Hashem's creations. We have some of the most beautiful creatures in the world. The Gemara says that when you see an exceptionally beautiful creature, you make a special bracha, a blessing. Baruch shekacha lo ba'ilamo. Blessed is the one who has such things in his world. And Rav Avadya Yosef, as an example, would be a very beautiful parrot. So we have a stunningly beautiful parrot, very friendly, on display. We have chauffeurs, so we have all many, many different species from all around the world that are not mentioned in Tanakh, but each of which brings out a different aspect of Hilchos Shofar.
Or actually, are most animals mentioned in the Tanakh? I mean, are there animals that are not mentioned?
Sure. Most animals are not mentioned in Tanakh. In Tanakh, generally speaking about animals from Eretz Yisrael, that's one of the introductory exhibit is about, you know, what is the idea of biblical natural history? A regular natural history museum would show you a kangaroo, a penguin, but those are not part of the animal world of Tanakh. In Tanakh, it mentions animals that the B'nai Israel were familiar with, which by and large is the animal life of Eretz Yisrael. But there are exceptions, like there are pesukim about how Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, had ships that would bring him elephant tusks and monkeys and peacocks. So we have a magnificent set of elephant tusks on display, enormous. And then the idea that that in general it's the animals of Israel, but even so you have to differentiate between animals that live in Israel today and animals that used to live in Israel. We have some creatures on display, some live animals, which are very common in Israel today, but they're foreign invaders, introduced species that didn't used to live here. Now, on the other hand, you know, it's displaying many of the animals that used to live in Eretz Yisrael, which are mentioned in Tanakh, but don't live here in the wild anymore, like lions and hippos and crocodiles, bears.
So which you're saying that at some point in time they lived in Israel? We know, like, from Shimshon, right, about the lions. And
right, exactly.
Today.
Lions were in Israel until about 700 years ago. So, you know, I think our lion exhibit, I think he's the first lion in Beit Shemesh in about 700 years. Bears were, the last bear in Israel was killed in 1917. It's fat. Some of them hung on until quite recently. And some of the animals that were driven to extinction have since been reintroduced to the wild, like ostriches and fallow deer. But when you're talking about something like a bear or a hippopotamus or a crocodile, it's really, you know, not viable to release it back into the wild.
Which animal would you say would be the one that people would find most surprising that you'd find in Israel that people didn't expect?
Well, we have this huge skull on display. And people see it, they are totally mystified by it. In fact, I stopped putting it in the promotional brochure because people just assumed it was a dinosaur, which it isn't. It's like this huge skull with these enormous teeth. And it's actually the skull of a hippopotamus. And the hippopotamus is an animal that's mentioned in Sefer Iyov. And people, you know, people think of it as very much an African animal, but they were in Israel. They were on the coast, as far north as Zichron Yaakov. They were in the Kinneret. My partner, who gives the Hebrew tours, has a hippo tusk that he found in the Kinneret. And people are really astonished to learn that this is something that lived in Israel.
Oh, yeah. I guess people never expected that. Never expected that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about also where people maybe had a misconception. About, I know he mentions in the article, he mentions about the Shualim, which, you know... Right. So let's talk about that
a moment. Well, it depends which people. You know, people who pass through Europe, you know, most of us did. So, you know, our conceptions of identifying animals in the Torah is based on translations that came about in Europe. But remember, the animals of Europe are not the same as the animals of Israel. You know, different parts of the world have different animals. If you ever see Israelis go to New York for the first time, you know, what are the Israelis most excited to see in New York? The squirrels. Right? Israelis get wild with excitement over squirrels. And Americans are like, what? You know, Israelis are not familiar with them. You know, squirrels in Israel. So, you know, and by the same token, Europeans were not familiar with many animals of Tanakh, and a lot of the translations were switched to local animals, like Tzvi, which is always translated as deer. But in fact, you see in the Gemara that Tzvi is a gazelle. And Rashi there in the Gemara, the Gemara says that the Tzvi's horns are not branched. And Rashi right there says, you know, I don't get it. Deer's horns are branched. So Rashi says it must be what we call a Tzvi in Europe. It's not what the Gemara called a Tzvi. And, you know, the same thing happens with many animals, that they just didn't live in Europe. Right now I'm doing my dissertation on 19th century rabbinic encounters with zoology. In the 19th century, for the first time, you had people riding safarim and animals of the Torah. And some of them were people who came to Eretz Israel, and they saw these animals and were like, hey, you know, these things solve a lot of questions that we've had, because in Europe we just weren't familiar with these animals.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess over the years, certain animals become extinct, right? That's what happened with the bear, you say. I guess people didn't even realize that there were bears in Eretz Israel, you know?
Right, but there's other animals that people in Europe were just not familiar with. I mean, like one of these 19th century authors of Yosef Schwartz, and he came... He writes that he was always, in Europe, he was bothered because the Gemara says that a mole eyes, but moles do have eyes, you know, small ones, but they have eyes. But when he came to Israel, finally, he could understand it. In Israel, instead of the mole, it's an animal called the mole rat, which does not actually have eyes. So there were many examples of that, of animals that were misidentified by Jews who were in Europe. If Jews were in North Africa, which is much more similar wildlife to Israel, they retained the correct Masorah. But Jews who went to Europe often, you know, made substitutions.
So what prompted you to actually start the museum? I mean, what did you feel there was a need for something like this? And I know you do a lot of work with the zoo. So why
right.
wasn't it? Why didn't you decide to do it in the zoo? I mean, would it have fit in better there?
Well, like I said, I was gradually realizing that I wanted to do an indoor experience. And I've been accumulating so much stuff in my house over the years, I started bringing groups to my house just to do a more focused presentation there. And eventually, as my collection started taking over more and more of my house, I realized that it was time to set things up in a location. And I wanted to do it in Beit Shemesh, not just because I live in Beit Shemesh, because I feel it's an area which is very big, very rapidly growing population. And there's not that much in the area. Beit Shemesh hasn't had a great reputation in the news in the last few years.
Right, that's correct.
So I felt that Beit Shemesh was an ideal spot to develop a new attraction and something which would be equally valued by all sectors of the population.
So does it? I guess it costs money to come to the museum, right? What's the charge?
Yeah, so it's 40 shekel for adults and 30 shekel for kids. You know, we have discounts for groups. We have a website, www.biblicalnaturalhistory.org or tevatanachi.org, whichever you prefer typing in. And that shows you know, pictures and examples and details of how to book tours.
And is it most, I mean, do you spend most of your time now in the museum? Is that what you do?
Yeah, it's taken a lot of my time. We have another guide who does the Hebrew tours, and we're starting to train in more guides now also.
So I presume
it's really very exciting.
I presume you would highly recommend it. It's like when the tourists come during the tourist season, one of their stops will be to come to the Biblical Museum of Natural History, right? That's what you're hoping for.
Right. We find a lot of people are combining it with other things in the area, like there's Beit Guvrin, there's the, you know, the stalactite caves. So, the Israel Center OU just had a day in Beit Shemesh where they combined it with Beit Guvrin, with a new brewery in the area.
Interesting. Very interesting things that are going on. I know that I know we've talked about this for a long time. This is a culmination of many, many years. I presume your wife must have been pretty happy when you moved everything out of your house into the museum, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, my kids' bedrooms at that point were full of different taxidermy animals. And she was very relieved to have her house back.
So what's next for the museum? Like, what else do you have to do? You know, what are some of the goals that you have?
The long-term goal is to build our own facility. Right now we're renting a warehouse that we converted. And the long-term goal is to get a piece of land and build our own dedicated facility. Like I said, we're already outgrowing the space we're in now. And in peak periods like Chol HaMoed and Hanukkah, we're just not able to fit all the people who want to come. So the long-term goal is to expand and build our own place.
That's great. That's wonderful. Well, it's a really, really nice article. And once again, you know, you're always at the cutting edge of what's going on. It's been my pleasure to have Rabbi Slifkin here. Do you like being called the zoo rabbi or not?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Okay, good. Yep. Okay, that's really good. I'm good. So the zoo rabbi, Rabbi Slifkin, and I highly recommend, as Peter Abelow says in his article, a very nice thing to do if you're in Israel, to take your kids, go to the biblical in your museum and the Bible Museum of Natural History. Thank you so much, and Hatzlacha and everything you're doing, okay? Be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.